May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 251. When Jesus with his mighty love visits my troubled breast, my doubts subside, my fears remove, and I am completely blessed. 251.
Thank you. Let us read from the book of Lamentations, from chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keep his silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off for ever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commanded it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain, thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare is come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission, till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near. In the day that I called upon thee, thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. Leave the reading there. May the Lord bless his own word. May he grant a prayer. O Lord, we seek that grace of humility, of reverence and godly fear. We pray to be enabled to come as Ruth came even unto the threshing floor, to come softly. O Lord, we ask that faith in exercise, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, O, leave us not to mere formality, an utterance of words without the feeling of the heart. May there be that lifting up of the heart with the hand unto God in heaven. For unto thee shall all flesh come, O thou that hear his prayer. We ask, Lord, thy blessing upon the word read this evening, along with that that hath gone before, here and throughout Zion, and would plead, oh, that it might please thee. We can but beg. We cannot command nor demand. Lord, we ask, and we would in all humbleness of spirit, that thy word as proclaimed may reach into the very hearts of thy people. Oh Lord, may we profit from thy word. May thy words be found, and that to the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. And we pray now, as we come to the closing service of another of thy days, O Lord, we do beg that thou wouldst grant us thy Spirit. Without thee, we can do nothing. Painfully we feel it. We trust we would say, even profitably, we realize it. But oh, leave us not, Lord. Neither forsake us. We can bring no merit, nothing of ourselves. But we trust there is that hope in the finished work of the Lord Jesus upon Calvary's tree. And there is that, oh may we say it, expectation amidst all our unworthiness. An expectation founded upon the faithfulness of he who has spoken the promises and doth encourage poor sinners to trust in him. O Lord, we come as the psalmist came. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. O, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. O Lord, we pray to be lifted from that sense of darkness and captivity and be released, renewing a strength, rising up as upon eagle's wings. We pray, Lord, that cases might be made. Hast thou not appointed the preaching of the gospel, even that which is accounted foolishness in the sight of man? Yet, Lord, thou hast appointed it for the salvation of thine. And we pray, oh, that as we gather, yea, in these last days, for such they must be, oh, Lord, we pray that we may often gather at thine hand. Open thou thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Increase our faith, we pray. 'Tis feeble, we confess. Lord, wilt thou pity us the less? Be that far from thee, Lord. We make our petition. We would appeal that by faith unto one who has said, fear not, worm Jacob, I will help thee, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness, I will strengthen thee, I will support thee. Thou art my servant, I will help thee. O Lord, may they in the congregation who have such need of thine appearing be so comforted even this evening to realize that thou art he who hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. We pray for those that hold office. Ask, Lord, that thou would support and sustain them in those arduous labours in thy name. That which is not often seen with the natural eye, but is known and felt by those that in all their weakness, appointed to those offices, would seek thy blessing upon this corner of thy vineyard. May their hands be held up by prayer and supplication. Bless, oh bless the church, we pray. Make it to increase with a godly increase. Remember the congregation. We thank thee that there is that goodly number that gather around thy word and young friends amongst them. Oh Lord, we would ask that thy word may have free course and be glorified. That there may be that portion for seven and also for eight. That the laboring souls may come to that place of rest. Noah put forth his hand and pulled the dove. O Lord, exert that pressure, we pray, in Zion today. Put forth thine hand. Lord, there are the restless souls amongst us. Lord, there are those that find they cannot, as the ravens, take of those carcasses. Lord, theirs it is to desire the pure word of the gospel. Oh, disappoint them not. Send them not empty away. May there be many lambs in the fold here. Those tender lambs. Lord, may they know those times when spiritually there shall be that rising up and rejoicing. As at this season of the year we behold it in nature. Oh, so may we, Lord, in Zion. Lambs thou hast, we are persuaded, working in their hearts by thy most holy spirit. O Lord, may it please thee to bring such forth. O may it please thee to loosen their tongues. The power is thine. We would not have but for that power. Lord, we are so thankful as we look back that we can say it was of thee and yet hell tried. We become, Lord, on account of the sin that besets us. But Lord, we pray, yet may there be that opening of the mouth and that testifying of thy grace, thy help in their hearts. Remember the afflicted. Many whom thou lovest are sick. Lord, may it prove this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Though as then thou didst tarry, ere thou didst proceed to attend unto those concerns of the sisters, Lord, if it is felt that thou art tarrying, that thou answerest them not a word, Lord, may they be encouraged to believe that yet thou wilt appear for their relief. Oh, send help, we pray. Support these sick and afflicted ones, and those near and dear unto them also by the ties of nature, as they also bear these burdens. We pray, Lord, that they together may receive divine support. We would ask, Lord, we tremblingly sing, it comes upon our spirit to plead that thou would send unto this people an under shepherd after thine own heart. O Lord, 'tis thine appointment. Lord, we pray that there may be that one who shall yet be seen, as he whom the Lord hath prepared in the backside of the desert to minister the word statedly to this flock. Hear prayer for Zion, Lord, for the assemblies of thy people. Pour out of thy spirit. Gather in thy dead elect. Bring forth the hidden ones. May there be that reviving in the midst of the years. And now, Lord, do hear prayer. Each that have a hard case, a particular need. Show unto them, Lord, that thou knowest each saint's peculiar case. Though we are not privy to these things, could it please thee that thou wouldst use even those feeble words spoken in thy name to that end, the profit of thy people and thy glory. Hear prayer for this nation. Hear prayer, Lord, for those nations where there's been such upheaval and some suffering much deprivation. Lord, may we prize the privileges we have. And may we render unto thee praise and thanksgiving for the benefits we enjoy. May we not be forgetful of those in foreign lands that have and do endure much that is so painful and distressing. Lord, sanctify these things, we pray. May it yet be that there shall be that voice heard, Lord. Thy judgments, the voice of God heard in these things, that turning again unto the God of Israel. Now, Lord, whilst we are very conscious, we fail in our asking. Lord, may it please thee to make up in giving. Might it please thee, Lord, to grant us that leading of thy Spirit, that we might speak to thy glory. Hear us in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do thou forgive. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake.
Hymn 297. Jehovah has said, 'tis left on record, the righteous are one with Jesus the Lord. At all times he loves them, 'twas for them he died. yet oft times he proves them, for grace must be tried. 297.
seeking much that grace of dependence upon the Lord, we venture this evening to a word you will find in Lamentations from the 3rd chapter, reading verse 32. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 32. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. These words were spoken of the weeping prophet, one raised up of God in those dark days in the land of Israel, a faithful servant of the living God, a patriot. He loved the people and desired prosperity in the land. Yet, despite his faithfulness, he was despised by many of his countrymen and set at naught. Terrible things in righteousness had he to endure in that cause of his God. Do we marvel that under such affliction he should break out with these complaints, making mention of that low path through which he had passed and was now passing? I am the man. Read it again and again. He hath, whom doth he speak of but Israel's God, who was instructing him and teaching him in the way that he should go. The former part of this well-known portion of God's holy word is given over to the cry of the godly in their distress. But then there comes a time of respite, a time of consideration, a time of remembering of God's former mercies, his compassion in days of old. And this dear man breaks out in that which is often the language of those that fear God. It is, oh, without controversy, it can be proclaimed. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because because his compassions fail not. We come to the Word. Though he, that is the Lord, the God of Israel, though he sends affliction, causeth grief, many various ways, yet he saith he will have compassion. There's a certainty that runs through the Word. And how came that certainty into the experience of this man of God? Surely he had tasted, known and felt of God's mercy toward him in his deep sorrows of heart. And so, with that persuasion, he raised of the Lord to speak the word of God to the little remnant that yet remained, the faithful in the land. He would encourage them to believe. Though their path now is one of deep sorrow, of great anxiety, friends, are you there? Great perplexity, much concern, he proclaims, I say again, with such certainty, he will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Just as I came along this evening, that mile or so along the road, I thought like this. How can poor believers grasp the certainty of these things? We have Jeremiah's words, and further than that, oh, certainly they were directed of God's Holy Spirit. But let us turn also to Scripture, take Scripture to Scripture to prove the verity of the Word. And friends, in our deep need, we need that assurance. We need that confirmation. We desire the fleece wet and the fleece dry. We're living in perilous days. We know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. And sure it is that ere long we shall breathe that last breath here upon earth. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? I say again, we need, we desire, oh, that confirmation of the Spirit. These words dropped into one's heart. All things are for your sakes. Satan can't get round that word. Everything. All these difficulties. All these concerns. Which caused even amongst the children of God that to be known and felt, to reel as like a drunken man and be at their wit's end. I say, the Scripture declares, 'tis not my words, 'tis the Word of God. A confirmation here of Jeremiah's testimony to the remnant in his day. All things are for your sakes. I verily believe And if we could, as it were, trace deeper into those counsels of Jehovah, we would realize that every event, yea, that which we might consider small, and that which is greater in our eyes, yet all these things are for the good of Zion, for the profit of his people. Even the wrath of man, mention was made today concerning Pharaoh's heart being hardened. All things are for your sakes. We come to that word of the Apostle Paul. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to the purpose of his grace. All things. Yea, that which overtook the Israelites in Egypt, even that hardening of the heart of Pharaoh. What grief was in their path. I think of them lying down as it were among the pots, the very things they were to use to produce that tale of wrecks. They lie down in utter helplessness. Could they? It was impossible. They could not perform that which their taskmasters demanded. And see there, that place to which they, under the law, the schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, it hath its rightful place. Oh, see there how those things, they work together. They were for Israel's God. For I've seen thy tears. I've heard thy cry. I'm come down to deliver thee. Now is the day of salvation. All things. A confirmation. Yea, in Scripture, of this assertion of a Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who in his day endured much deprivation because of his faithfulness, and that through the teaching of God's Spirit he realized was for his profit. I say then, all things are for your sakes. How can the adversary get around such an all-embracing word? He will try. He will tempt. The trial of faith you've sung of, oh, it will be felt. But let us be assured of this. What God has said, that shall be performed. All things. Though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion. Weeping, it may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The Lord hath appointed those times of adversity against those days of prosperity. 'Tis to this end that such should glory in their God. All things he may cause grief, and he doth. But as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort thee. Though there's grief, the Lord hath permitted it. Let us be persuaded of this. Nothing cometh upon those that fear God. Oh, we speak it tenderly. But that The Lord hath appointed it, and that for their good. Let us look at it in this way. Throughout Scripture, we might read that those that opposed the Word of God brought distress upon the people of God. They who in the hands of the Lord, even those heathen nations that troubled much the Israelites of old, the Canaanite, to still dwell in the land. The hosts of Midian, oh, have they troubled Israel. If we know anything of these things, oh, there are those mighty hosts. The Lord permits them to cause grief. He uses the heathen nations to chasten his own people. He uses those circumstances, all according to that purpose of his grace, as one whom his Father loveth. The Lord chasteneth. The Lord chasteneth his sons and his daughters. Grievous it is, he causeth grief for the present. But what says the Scripture? Afterward, there is an afterward. It yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. The Lord Jesus, he learned obedience. Oh, what wonder of grace. How far beyond the comprehension of man. He learned obedience by those things which he suffered. And can they, I say, can they, who by God's grace are called to follow in the footsteps of the Lamb, can they escape that bath, that subjection, that learning obedience? And it is so by those things which we suffer. I come again to the Scripture. All things are for your sakes. The confirmation of this testimony of Jeremiah. How many a time we see it in Scripture. One particular, I may have spoken before in this way, the Lord knows, but oh, one particular has been such an help to this poor wanderer in this wilderness below. That case of Jacob, who after those years of grief and sorrow, and he a deceiver, yet the mercy of God was toward him. After those many years, oh, how he was caused to say, even unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. Not thy face, but God has shown me thy seed also. Though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion. According to the multitude of his tender mercies. Another thought comes. We turn to that chapter in Isaiah containing a delightful cluster of such precious promises unto the people of God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, hidden his face from thee, caused this grief to come in thy path. For a small moment, 'tis but a small moment, though our complaining hearts rebel against the length of the affliction, and again how we find there's that murmuring even, oh, I say it with shame, like Israel, murmuring and repining, our light affliction, saith the word, is but for a moment. But for a moment. There is that, oh, there is that, as the word would declare, that yet to be enjoyed, even the blessing of the Lord. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercy will I gather thee. In a little wrath, oh, think of what was poured upon the Lord Jesus Christ as he bore that iniquity of his church. Oh, can I put it in this way? And little do we understand it. His Holy Father, in his supreme justice, bearing judgment upon Christ because of Israel's sin, did vent his anger. Vent his anger against sin upon his only beloved Son. Think of it. What wondrous grace. For a small moment, the Lord Jesus Christ, he drank that cup, the cup of God's wrath against sin, to its very dregs. And you know, the dregs are the heaviest part of those cordials. He drank it to the very dregs. O Zion, behold thy God, the Lord Jesus Christ, verily God, verily man, who came to save sinners from their sins. He bore that wrath of his Father against their sins, that they might be brought into communion with God. In a little wrath, chastening, grievous, not pleasant, but for a season, in a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. And can you comprehend what follows? Can faith embrace it? Does it yearn for the application of it? Have we not here another confirmation of Jeremiah's testimony as concerning the work and person of Jesus Christ and the goodness of God as Christ is revealed as the sinner's friend? For a small moment, if I hid my face from thee, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. And of the confirmation. I see it in that light. Perhaps an unusual way to express it. But oh, how we need, at least this poor sinner doth, many a token. Now many a time have we said, oh, I trust not amiss. The Lord knoweth one's heart. Lord, not twice, a thrice, but once again, Lord. Oh, tell me that I'm thine, that I am thy servant, that I do these things according to thy word. But what saith he further? The mountain shall depart. The hills be removed. But my kindness, though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion. Those things which seem so stable to us, yet the Lord declares they shall depart. But my kindness, oh, 'tis such, it shall not depart from thee. Once in him forever, thus the everlasting covenant stands. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. This is the heritage of those that fear God, their righteousness. There's the, oh, there we see the secret, their righteousness. Tis not of their own. Tis that imputed of Christ. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. We cannot comprehend of that love of the Father, that love of the Son and of the Holy Spirit toward that people of God's everlasting choice. Though it is theirs to walk in the valley of the shadow of death, though it is theirs to walk through much tribulation, the world may despise them, afflictions abound in their path, and the question arises, why should these things be? Was it not that the plagued Job in those in those early days, did not they come from far and would suggest that Job had committed some great, grievous sin, that he should be afflicted in such a way? That was the thrust of their arguments. Job, he maintained his integrity, pronounced his innocence, yea, in those things, but was brought to see, oh, the deeper corruptions of his own heart, and some prize. How can I express it? Some very precious words were spoken. I think of that word, though he slay me. That's grief. Though he hide his face. That's grief. To one that hath tasted the Lord's love and mercy. Oh, what grief it brings into their experience. when, like Job, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Like the spouse of old, she went about the streets. She inquired as to where he may be, what might be found. Her heart ached under that sense of grief at his departure, and she acknowledged 'twas her own sins. But he had compassion. He turned again. Brought her. Oh, brought her. Yet again. Under his embrace. His left hand under her head. By his right hand. He did embrace her. Though he caused grief. Yet. Oh, precious word. Yet will he have compassion, and that according to the multitude of his mercies. Such, oh, such is the love of Christ towards sinners. Yea, he may hide his face. He would prove them. See what is in their heart. Cause grief. Sorrow. Or think of the paths David walked in. The deep paths of sorrow in his family. The troubles in the land. Though he caused grief. Ziklag, we think of it. Oh, there they would stone him. The Lord had dealt very grievously with his servant. Yet, David, friends, we proved it. David recovered all, though he caused grief. Yet will he have compassion? There's not scripture that attests to it again and again. 'Tis the way of God as he instructs his people in the way that they shall go. He knoweth the way that I take. What comfort this brings. He knoweth. Times and seasons there are when in the very midst of anxiety, deep affliction, sorrow, bereavement, oh, that touch, that appearing through the scriptures, the word of God. Some word applied in some measure, it brings relief, sustains that soul. What saith the psalmist on those occasions? I will go in the strength of the Lord and make mention of his righteousness, his alone. Though he cause grief. I think now of the surgeon, as he would use his skill to bring recovery to the patient. He uses some very sharp instruments. He setteth about that which is needful. For he hath that in mind which shall be for the recovery of the patient. Now, friend, I'd never thought of this illustration. It comes in this way. Wise physician. He understands
disorders of body, mind and soul. The earthly physician can only know that which the patient might say unto him, and that he might see, even by probing a little into those wounds. The heavenly physician, he knoweth all disorders, body, mind, and soul, though he cause grief. The surgeon's knife, painful to the flesh, yet it is for their good, also in spiritual things. He probes, he will be inquired of, he will have his children pour out their hearts before the Lord in their distress, in their grief. Oh, it is the appointed way, and what relief. Oh, friend, have you not realized it? What relief there is in being able to unbosom those cares into the Lord, into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. He hearkens unto those cries. Oh, I think of those words which we almost closed reading this evening. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Pour out thy soul before the Lord. Thou drewest near. Yea, in that day of trouble, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Call upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. Fear not. What cause we have to acknowledge Christ's compassion, the Spirit's working, as such words are applied in those days of darkness, those days of soul distress, those days wherein the Lord, by his Spirit, wounds. He killeth, said Hannah in her song of deliverance. He killeth ere he maketh alive. 'Tis that appointed way. Would you be left with that sore, that plague, that secret sin? I say, would you be left to perish eternally? Because it hath not been washed away in that precious blood of Christ. If ye confess your sins, and how can we confess those sins, but that they are brought to the light, brought to the notice, the sins of our youth? Do we not have to look back with shame, with regret? Oh, not alone those sins of our youth, those sins of our pathway, the Lord has shown us. Oh, how these things have been such as caused his displeasure. He's hidden his face, but in his mercy, oh, he hath put in, as it were, that instrument, that sharp knife, painful though it hath been to the flesh. And he hath removed that cancer, shall I say, that spiritual cancer, that sin that would cast you into hell. He's removed. I've blotted out thy transgressions as a thick cloud. I've removed these from thee, cast them. Oh, the tender compassion, the loving kindness of the Lord. Loving kindness, I say. The psalmist speaks, and I felt some comfort in it from time to time. It's the tender mercies. All men, in some way, are subject to those mercies of God. Yea, in nature and in providence, But friends, it is these whom the Father loves, to which he exhibits those tender mercies. Oh, with such compassion, such love and tenderness doth he attend unto those wounds, like the Good Samaritan. The Levite and the priest would pass by on some other side. They're not concerned. They cannot be troubled. But not so the Samaritan. And remember, the Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans. But the parable was spoken. To what intent? May we never forget it. Go and do thou likewise. The tender compassion of that one, even a Samaritan, he went, he came. Friends, as Christ come where thou art. He came where he was. He's met thee, one with thee. I think of the Hebrew children in the burning fiery furnace, one with thee, whose form is like unto the Son of God. He came where he was. He did everything. There was that one stripped and left half dead. Behold the loving kindness of thy God, though he cause grief. I venture to mention a few scriptures as they've been given. Oh, I trust that God the Holy Spirit may apply them, use them to his glory, that the grieving souls amongst us, and many are they that grieve, and Mary and Martha, two sisters, or that illness of Lazarus, their brother, this sickness, what saith the Lord, this sickness is not unto death. It's not for thy destruction. 'Tis not for thine eternal damnation. It is for the glory of God. Though he cause grief, he will have compassion. One says the time of love will come. Have we one grieved at the withholding of those blessings of the gospel? Grieved on account of that darkness, spiritual darkness in the way? Grieved as such feel within the barrenness and coldness of their hearts, a real grief unto the living family of God. They would not have it so. Oh, to them the word declares, though he cause grief, though he withdraw himself seemingly for a small moment, he will come again. He will come again. Though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according. Oh, there's a fullness here which cannot be explained away. According to the multitude of his mercies and their countless. And so Jeremiah affirms this in this declaration, assertion unto the little remnant that remain. God's mercies are such, beyond counting, a great multitude, like the sand of the seashore, according to that number, a number that no man can number, so will he have compassion upon thee. I think, oh, just in closing, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, again in Gethsemane and at Calvary. Is it not a blessed note to conclude on? I think of him there. He demurred not, voluntarily gave himself. Yes, to the cross he was led. And there, oh, what do we read? He bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. He submitted to all that was required. He gave up the ghost. The veil of the temple was rent from the very top to the bottom. An open way made. Oh, the glories that follow, yea, proceed from Calvary. The blessings, the compassion. Words have been much with me of late. I believe we quoted them this morning. When the Saviour knew the price of pardon was his blood, his pity, he ne'er withdrew. Such is the compassion. The Lord grant that encouragement to continue.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £700, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday, and Mr. Cornford next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 872. Gold in the furnace tried ne'er loses aught but dross, so is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. 872.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.